Good morning, everyone. Finally, we have reached the third Sunday of Advent. It's finally going to be Christmas next week, the day to remember and celebrate that Jesus Christ came to our world and to us. Are you ready to celebrate? Last week, we had another induction ceremony at the third worship service where five people were added to God's family in this church, and one person was added at the morning Wednesday service. Today, we also have baptisms at the second and third services, and six people are about to be added to the God's family. Today, I would like to celebrate and receive joy of Christmas together with you, savoring the joy of this addition to God's family. Through John's Christmas story, let us discover Jesus, who comes to us from God today. And in that story, the Father's love for us that overflows in him. So now let us together read the Bible verses. It's from the New Testament, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It's on the screen if you read Japanese. Now, let me read it to you from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him, all things were made. There was nothing made that was not made by him. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And you all, how did you find your identity? I grew up in a Christian home, but until I was 14, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I tried to find my identity in a piece of paper called nationality, issued by my country, in the color of my parents' faces, in their words and actions, and in my friends' evaluations. Yet, these things are not decided once and for all, but they change from time to time. Sometimes people hurt each other to find their identity. I'm better than that person. I have a better life than he or she does. I have a better career, a better working place than he does. And we Christians are no exception. We evaluate each other according to our own man-made standards. And that's how we find our identities, or we try to. But the Bible speaks of a different world from that world. This is what Jesus has done for us. It speaks of an amazing grace, an event of grace far behind our comprehension, that he, Jesus Christ, gave up his glory, his power, and his divine nature to become man, and then die on the cross in our place. He came to me, side by side. This is the grace that the Bible teaches us. He came to take the punishment for me and for all our sins in our place. In one of the Korean TV programs, the plan was to encourage hard-working youth, and when these hard-working youth are working, their favorite entertainers and celebrities would visit them as a surprise, and they would be amazed. They would eat with them, talk with them, and work with, please, and encourage the hard-working youth. But the young man in this program is working hard. And as a reward for hard work, this entertainer or celebrity would visit them. But Jesus came not because we are doing well, not because we have worked hard, worked a lot, but just because he loves us. In today's reading, in John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And all he asks of us in return is that we believe that God the Father loves us very much and we receive his love. People will say, I will decide if I love you by seeing how you do. They say, the more you work hard, the more people will recognize you, so work hard. Your ability is what it is, and you, who you are. But when the world evaluates us by what we say and do and determines one's worth, my worth, your worth, as a person, only Jesus loves us for who we are, and then came as a man and proved it with his life. This is not something that some 2,000 years ago happened in Israel on the other side of the world. But right now, at this moment, it is a fact that is occurring in our lives. Right now. And there is Jesus. He is ready and waiting for the fullness of time to come again. This is the meaning of Advent. Waiting for Christmas, the day of Jesus' coming. So, let us introduce the events of Christmas and the main character of Christmas, Jesus Christ, in the manner of John, so that we may testify that Jesus came as our Savior, both as fully God and fully man. In the beginning, Jesus is introduced by John without using the word Jesus Christ. In verses 1 and 2, he introduces the Word as Jesus Christ. saying that Jesus was there from the beginning, before the creation of the world. He was with God. He was with God the Father. This is how John introduces Jesus to us. He was with God, and not only that, but it begins that he was, it also says he was God. And in verse 3, Jesus tells us that he and God the Father created heaven and earth and all things, reminding the reader of the book of Genesis and telling him what kind of person Jesus is. When God created the world, he used the words, "Let there be light." That word was Jesus. That light was Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 17, Paul says the same thing. Jesus is the life and the light. John goes on to say that Jesus had life. And Jesus is life itself, and that life appeared in him. He says that this is not a life that ends when we die, but an eternal life that lives even after death. He says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." It appeared to us. John repeats this in his first letter, in chapter 1, verse 2. "This life has appeared to us, we testify, and tell you that we have seen this eternal life, which is with the Father, and has appeared to us." The life of Jesus Christ is our light. We use the word life and light to refer to Jesus as that light which shines in the darkness and overcomes itself. Jesus also introduces himself and his mission to his disciples using the words life and light. This is also after telling them that he will take himself to the cross. In John 13, verse 46, he writes that Jesus says, "I have come into the world as light, that no one who believes in me should remain in darkness." And again, in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So, in this way, Jesus, who is the real life and light, invites us to believe in and receive that light, Jesus himself. in John 12, chapter 12, verse 36, he writes, "Believe in the light while you still have it, so that you may become children of the light." Coming back to today's passage, verse 9 tells us about Jesus and about Christmas. It says that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. If you look at verse 8 before that, John the Baptist was introduced. He was not the light. There are two kinds of light in this world, the true light and the not-so-true light. And there is one who reveals and is the light, who is Jesus. The one who reveals is John the Baptist. But people sometimes mistake him for the light as well, but he is not the light. He is one who testifies of the light. The only one who is the true light is Jesus. Jesus, the true light, has been there from before creation, but the people did not know, recognize, or accept the light that is Jesus. But there are people among them who have accepted this light and have accepted Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And today, in the second and third services, there are those who will be baptized today. They have believed in Christ Jesus as their Lord. And we too, having believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord, we also are included in this group of those who have accepted him in verse 12. And as John tells us, we, too, receive the privilege of becoming children of God. So what kind of light is this light of Jesus, this true light that illuminates all people? When I imagined what kind of light, what came to my mind was the glory of the Lord as seen by the shepherds in Luke 2:8 and the following. Luke 2, verses 8 and 9. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord that shone on those shepherds at night, when they were on the night watch for their sheep. I think that the glory of the Lord that shone on the shepherds and the surroundings at this time was only 10% or some small part of it. Because if it was 100%, not just the shepherds, but the whole human race would have noticed it. Anyway, what was the reaction of the shepherds when they saw the light of the Lord? It says, they were very afraid. Shepherds were even omitted from the register of residence. They were so unimportant. I think they too were aware that whoever sees God will die, as it was written, For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 20, it says, "You cannot see my face." If one sees me, he will die and be cut off from me. And in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 30, we read that Moses' face shone when he talked with God, and the people, seeing his glowing face, were afraid to approach him. This is the reaction of the earliest people who saw the glory of the Lord. And the shepherds were the same on that evening. And this is because we are sinners. It is because we cannot bear God's holiness, because we are exposed before this light, unable to hide. It's as if we were hit with a spotlight, showing all of our weakness, all of our confusion. And to these frightened and fearful shepherds, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. And there was, bit by bit, a change as their fear-filled hearts were transformed. And then in Luke 2:11, we hear the great joy. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is Christ the Lord. The shepherds were transformed from fear of the light that should judge and destroy them to the joy of the warm and embracing light of love that will save me. And the shepherds, initially terrified at the sight of the Lord's glory, hurried to see Jesus lying in the manger with Mary and Joseph, just as the angel had told them to do. But what did they see there? Not and in the message last week we heard that they saw a baby, a newborn baby, lying in the manger in the stables. It was not the great light that they saw in the fields, but a small light. If he wanted, Jesus could have appeared as an adult and come as a glittering light, a great shining light that anyone would recognize, just as the angels came as a great light. But Jesus began his life, his work of salvation and love for each and every one of us, as the least powerful and weakest of human beings, a newborn baby. This is how much he loved us. And he didn't come to the powerful, the kings, the priests, the great teachers. Instead, he came to the shepherds first. In an age and a world where power, money, status, strength, and authority rule, he came not with power, but with love, not with strength, but with weakness, not with oppression and fear, but with humility, as a giver of life, rather than giving death and destruction, not to deepen the darkness, but as light to illuminate it, to save and guide us, to reign over us. As it says in Philippians 2, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being in human likeness. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it is written, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he was able to help those who are being tempted. He came into the world as a small light that could be buried in our daily lives, that is easily overlooked, and yet a light so small that we don't even notice that we missed it. And if we did, we wouldn't regret it. It is a small but surely warm and gentle light that gives great joy, love, hope, salvation and life to those who see it. The image is that of a light like the sun that has become the small light of a single candle. But for those who have found this light, small as it is a light that can completely change their lives and their inner selves. It is a light that is not affected by circumstances. No one can extinguish it. It will never go out. A light that promises that great fear will cease to be fear and be transformed into great joy. Mary received this small life, this true light, with love, hope, knowing of salvation. I didn't understand it. I wasn't prepared for it at all. But the good news that was spoken through the angel, that I would believe in God's word and follow his will completely, that is Mary's confession of faith. And she ends, please let it be done to me according to your word, in a prayer, that may I experience the grace of the Lord with my own body. And in this way, the little light, Jesus, was born and spread to the world. And from Mary it spread to Joseph, and then to the shepherds, to the doctors of the East, and to the Israelites, and even beyond to the Gentiles. And it is written throughout this New Testament that the people who experience that grace not only in their heads, also in their bodies. And that light has been delivered to us living today, and we are receiving it. And the Bible introduces this light to us. We read in John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Jesus became a man and lived among us and in us. When we receive this light, the land without a Savior is transformed into a place where the workplace, home, and school are where the Savior is. That's how it is transformed. The life of Jesus Christ, the light overflowing with love, turns our darkness and our sin into light, our fear into joy, despair to hope, death and destruction to eternal life. It transforms children of God . I would like to conclude my message by confirming with you the words of Jesus, the light that he gave to us. in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Let us read it. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God has given us Jesus, the light. Jesus made us, who are not light, become the light of the world through himself shining in us. He gave us some great mission, that people would see this light and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let us receive this unchanging and great love. Let us receive this great light of God the Father, who sent his only begotten Son for us, the light of Jesus, who left everything to come for us, to come to us. And there are many around us in this land who need Jesus Christ as much as we do, where this light has not yet reached. They need his light. This light that terrified the shepherds, and yet became their great joy. There are many who are wandering in darkness because there's no light. Let us bring to them the warm light of Jesus. They and their families, their friends, our families and friends. There are many still walking in the darkness. We must give them the light. To those who are in such darkness, let us follow Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the Magi of the East, the 12 disciples, Paul, and our Senpai, the senior members of Megumi Church, in their faith. And so go out to share this unquenchable light, a light that darkness cannot overcome. So let me pray. And in him was life. This life, this light, became man. And darkness has not overcome it. The light has come among us to live, and we have seen his glory. He was filled with love and grace. We praise your name, Holy God. And today, once again, through your word, Father God, you have given us Jesus, the light, and you have so made known to us your great love. We thank you from our hearts. Jesus, as the eternal life, the light that has overcome the world and the darkness of the world, we give you thanks to you for his coming from the bottom of our hearts. And we thank you for the many great ones who have come before us, great in faith, if not in the world. You have shown us the way through Jesus, and we ask that you bless us with the courage to take step by step with him. In this world, there are many great darknesses. There are countries and places that need Jesus, people who need Jesus. In our homes, in our workplaces, at our schools, there is pain, there is sadness. Let us show them how, cloaked in the light of Jesus, in the warmth of his love, they can experience salvation. And let us pray for their salvation. Jesus will give to us his salvation, his love. Let us protect and carefully raise up this love in us. We give thanks for those around us. We give thanks for the baptisms today. These people who have accepted the light of Jesus. Please bless them over and over. And may they be blessed by fellowship with us and we by them, as we walk together in your light, as we receive your blessings. Please fulfill them in you. And in the name of our saving Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.